Little Billy Joel. Yeah. Honesty. Such a lonely word. Everyone's so untrue, honesty is hardly ever heard. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about this topic of honesty. There are a lot of examples in Scripture of men and women who were honest. And some, well, they were not so honest. And probably one of the most radical stories is found in Acts, the 5th chapter. And it's about a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of land, apparently, and decided that they were going to give most of the proceeds to the church. But they decided to keep a portion for themselves. And so Ananias, he brings the money to Peter. Peter was an apostle. He was one of the early church leaders. And so Ananias is pretending that he's giving all the proceeds to the church. In other words, he lied about it. Scripture says this. Peter's talking to him and he says, "Ananias, how is it that Satan so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" So initially, when you're reading this story, you think the issue is that he didn't give it all right? But Peter clarifies this and he continues on. He goes, "Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal?" In other words, you had a choice. You could make a decision what you wanted to do. What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. See, the real issue, it wasn't that they didn't give it all. It really had nothing to do with that. The real issue was that they lied to God. And Peter confronts Ananias on this. And if you read the entire story, Ananias falls over dead. Literally, he just dies right there. And Peter has some men come in, they gather him up, and they take him out and they bury him. About 3 hours later, Sapphira, she shows up. Now, we are not sure why they didn't come together. Maybe she was out getting a manicure or something. I don't know. But she has absolutely no idea what has happened. There was no internet, there was no Twitter back then, so she doesn't know. She shows up, Peter doesn't tell her that her husband has died. And so Scripture says, he starts quizzing her, he says, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" See, he's trying to get to the bottom of it. She says, "Yeah, this is the price." Peter confronts her. "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of those who buried your husband," see, she found out he's gone, "the men that buried your husband are at the door. They will carry you out also." And Scripture says that she fell over dead, and they buried her too. And Scripture says that this story spread. I mean, it spread like wildfire, and there was fear struck into the hearts of the people of the church. They weren't honest, and they got struck down, and they died because they lied to God. Now, I don't know about you, but aren't you glad that God doesn't do the same thing today? I mean, this place would be empty, wouldn't it? I would be here all alone talking to nobody. I mean, honesty. It's fading. Why is that? Here's part of the reason, I think. Honesty is something that we really, really, really want in other people. Honesty is something that we really want in all of our dealings with other people. But when I'm not honest, it's not that big of a deal. It's like everything else we've been talking about in this series. Honesty, it begins with me. Honesty, it begins with you. You know, it's interesting. You talk to parents, and you find out real quickly, number one quality that parents want their kids to possess, it's honesty. It's honesty, but it's also interesting, in a recent survey, 91% of all Americans say they lie on a regular basis. And I'm thinking, well, how do you even trust a survey like that? I mean, the other 9%, in the run of a day, we have lots of opportunities to be dishonest. Every conversation, every phone call, every transaction, every interaction. You know, sociologists tell us that we will see and hear at least 300 lies a day. Actually, it's 200. I wanted to show you how easy it is to lie, all right? But you know, I mean, some of these lies are so common, like, hey, the check's in the mail. Nothing's wrong, I'm fine. It's what I always wanted. I'm on my way. Those jeans look great. I didn't get the text. Sorry, I didn't make it. Officer, I had no idea how fast I was going. I got a headache. And on they go. We live in a society that promotes dishonesty. Dishonesty is so common, I think we come to expect it in our society. I mean, we've come to expect dishonesty in politics, haven't we? I mean, was anyone surprised these days when there's dishonesty in politics? Anybody? You know, I'll be honest with you, the political ads this past election, off the chart, all sides, doesn't matter, terrible. Half-truths, partial quotes, spins, outright lies. And I'll be honest, after the election, I thought, I won't have to listen to these things anymore. And then I realized I am several weeks behind on my DVR. Yay. You know, keeps on giving. I mean, we expect untruthfulness in advertising, true? I was amazed this fall. Every show that was new was claiming to be the new number one hit. I think there were more new number one hits than there were actual shows. But, you know, every company claiming to be number one, every product claiming that they're the best. How many of you have seen the Axe body spray commercials? You know, it's the one where the guy puts it on and then the women just can't resist. They just flock. I bought some. I did. I really did. I bought some. I put it on. I walked by Cindy's chair, you know. Nothing. Yeah, I got in close. Nothing. I mean, she resisted. I know, hard to believe, right? Here's the deal. Save your money. It's a lie. It's a lie. The reality is most commercials are less than honest, and we've come to expect that. We've come to expect a degree of dishonesty in business deals. You know, 7 out of 10 people in business say that they compromise their values, that they compromise to conform to company standards. In other words, they've lowered the bar. Fade. It's faded. It's interesting. Some of the companies that have very questionable ethics, they are asking employees to take integrity testing. because they want to protect the company from losses. And I'm like, how ironic is that? Again, honesty is something we desire in other people. I meet with lots of business people through the years. And it's something that just bothers me is how many feel like they've got to lie and be less than honest to even compete in the business world. We expect a degree of dishonesty from students. I was reading a recent survey, 31 major colleges and universities, they interviewed 15,000 juniors and seniors. And they talked on the topic of cheating. And here's what they found out. 63% of humanity majors admitted to cheating. 68% of science majors admitted that they cheated. 74% of engineering students admitted to cheating. 87% of business majors admitted to cheating. They did not interview political science majors. I guess they figured they didn't need to. But what was startling about it was most felt they had a very good reason for cheating. Friends, something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong. You know, from Wall Street to Main Street, from the White House to this house, something is wrong. You know, major leaders in Christianity, we have watched them tumble, take major hits because they've been exposed for lying, being unethical. You know, the church has just jumped in with society. Now, there's something troubling when people hear the word Christian. It's almost met with a skepticism by the world. The world that we are called to be an example to. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I have talked to people that are not churchgoers, that aren't Christians, and we'll get in a conversation, and they'll go, so-and-so? They are so unethical. They are so dishonest. I had no idea that they're a Christian. How do you think that plays? Fade, friends, fade. And it breaks my heart, and it breaks God's heart. Honesty is fading. Dishonesty, it's all around us. Dishonesty seems to be something we're drawn to. It's almost as though it's in our nature. You know, Dr. Leonard Keeler, he was the co-inventor of the lie detector. He interviewed 25,000 people, and he came to one basic conclusion, that basically people are dishonest. You read the Bible, that should not surprise you. Dishonesty has permeated our culture. Dishonesty has created some of the mess we're in. Dishonesty, it's why we live in a fallen world. And friends, there is a struggle going on in this world, and you can call it whatever you want. You know, some say it's a struggle between light and darkness, a struggle between good and evil. It's a struggle between God and Satan. It's an eternal battle. And it is way bigger than we can imagine because it is a struggle between truth and falsehood. Friends, God is truth and Satan is a liar. You know, Jesus, he was speaking to a group of people that were kind of into dishonesty. And Jesus is really just crystal clear about the side that many have chosen to be on. He writes this, he says, your father is the devil, and you do exactly what he wants. He has always been a murderer and a liar. There is nothing truthful about him. He speaks on his own, and everything he says is a what? A lie. Not only is he a liar himself, but he is also the father of all lies. Did you catch that? He's the father of all lies. Two sides, honesty dishonesty. It's a choice that you have to make. Who's your father? Is it going to be God? You know, Scripture says that God hates dishonesty. You know, the word hate isn't used very often in Scripture, not in connection with God. But when it comes to dishonesty, it's how God feels. He hates it. Honesty, it's fading. And it's really easy, I think, to minimize dishonesty. You know, kind of go, oh, it's not a big deal. Friends, it is a big deal. Because God hates it. Do you know why God hates dishonesty? Because it's destructive. Utterly destructive. It destroys. You know, Isaiah, he's speaking to God on behalf of the nation. He says, we have all rebelled against you, rejected you, refused to follow you. We've oppressed others, turned away from you. Our thoughts are false. Our words are lies. The prophet Isaiah, he's assessing his culture. He's looking around. He goes, you know what? Something's wrong. Honesty, it's fading. It's gone. It says justice, it's driven away. And right cannot come near. Truth stumbles in the public square. And honesty finds no place there. There is so little honesty that those who stop doing evil find themselves the victim of crimes. The Lord has seen this. He is displeased that there's no justice. Friends, dishonesty, it's destructive. And it's got a lot of implications to it. I mean, one, I think people become more skeptical because of dishonesty. I think when you hear enough lies, you hear enough half-truths, you hear lie after lie after lie after lie, there comes a point where you start second-guessing everything. You second-guess every conversation you have. You second-guess every transaction. You second-guess everything. You kind of go, I wonder, are they telling the truth or not? Not only are you skeptical, but I think what happens is trust gets broken. Our culture lacks trust when you look around at it. We have come to expect dishonesty in almost every arena, and therefore we don't trust anymore because it's been broken. And because there's such an abundance of dishonesty, I think it makes us insecure. You know, we're very insecure. Do you remember when you were a child and someone would tell you something and you're trying to figure out, is it true or not true? And you'd go, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in your eye. I don't know why, but that's what we did. But we wanted to know. We really wanted to know what was true. Because without truth, there's this insecurity. Friends, when dishonesty rules, watch out. When it is the mark of the day, what happens is honesty gets lost. Crime escalates. Justice, it doesn't exist. And I know as I'm talking, for some, you're going, well, if you put it that way, I guess honesty's a nice idea. Friends, it's not a nice idea. It is a command from God. God loves us so much, wants the very, very best for us, and God understands that dishonesty destroys. It destroys families. It destroys relationships. It erodes the foundation of culture. It erodes the foundation of business and nations and churches. It leaves people frustrated, disillusioned, disappointed. Something is wrong, terribly wrong. Dishonesty, it keeps us from living the way that God intended for us to live. Now, what I want to do, very simple today, is help us reverse that fade of honesty. Again, it starts with me. It starts with you. I want to help us to become people of the truth in this sin-fallen world that's messed up. You know, Proverbs writes, says, buy the truth and do not sell it. In other words, truth comes with a price tag. And really the question is, are you willing to pay the price that's involved? And I want to do just kind of a basic inventory. And for you to be honest with yourself and ask yourself just some questions to kind of help us get to the same place. One, where am I being dishonest? You know, look at some of the options in your life. You know, for some of you, you may be honest at home, but you're dishonest at work, or vice versa. The fact is, where are you dishonest? You know, you're being dishonest in your marriage, being dishonest at work or at school, being dishonest with some of your friends, some of your family. Are you being dishonest with yourself? You know, well, how do you do that? Well, I don't have a problem with that. Well, that's not a big deal. I could stop anytime I want. You're lying to yourself. It's called denial. But are you being honest with yourself? You know, you're being dishonest about a lifestyle. You're being dishonest with God. Ask yourself where. And then, how am I being dishonest? And I know as I ask that, some of you are going, well, I've never robbed a bank. You know, I've never embezzled $1 million. I guess I'm a pretty honest person. This would be easy. But I want you to think about it. Dishonesty, it comes in a lot of shapes, a lot of sizes. It's a little tough at times. Deceit, that's a form of dishonesty. You know, it's distorting the truth for the purpose of misleading someone. You know, it's leading people to believe something is true when it's not true. And culture has elevated deceit to an art form. You know, when we're trying to make a sale or close a deal or something, people go, hey, this is the perfect policy for you, when you know it's not. You know, or this car, it's in great condition. It is low mileage. It has had all of its maintenance done. We just forget to say that it got caught in the flood, and oh well. It's deceitful. How many of you have ever gotten that call? They'll leave it on your answer machine. It goes, this is card services. There's currently no problem with your credit card, but give us a call. They're trying to be deceitful. They're playing a little game. They're saying things in such a way that they mislead you into thinking something else, and really what their intent is to make a sale. And friends, this stuff's rampant in our society, and this doesn't even get into companies that are just outright deceitful for the purpose of securing your credit card number or Social Security number because they want to steal your identity. People deal in deceit all the time. People do it to hurt a colleague or a competitor. You know, it's the casual, hey, I just thought you ought to know this about them. And I know you go, well, if it's true, well, friends, check your motive. Check your motive. Are you trying to be helpful? Or are you trying to hurt someone? Are you trying to damage someone? You're trying to get even with someone. You got to be really careful here. You know, slander, gossip, they're forms of dishonesty most of the time. You know, gossip It's saying something you know will hurt somebody that you don't like. That's really its pure form. You know, slander, it comes from the Hebrew word for spy. It means to expose, to defeat. And the Bible has a lot to say about slander and gossip, more than any other sin just about, because it's so destructive. Exaggerations. That's a type of dishonesty. You know, we amp things up to kind of get a wow factor out of people. You know, the fish was this big, when really it was this big. You know, sometimes we exaggerate to protect ourselves. I did everything I could to meet the deadline. And the reality is we wasted a lot of time and just didn't get around to it soon enough. We exaggerate to make ourselves or something bigger than it really is. You know, the Greek word for exaggeration, do you know what it is? Resume. We exaggerate to make a point sometimes. Take a shot at someone. You never. Friends, this kind of dishonesty, it creeps in when we're at odds with someone. And then there's just bull-faced lies. You know, when the heat gets hot, when the pressure's on, when you're in a pickle, so to speak. I mean, what do you do? What do you do when the police pull you over? You know, what do you say to your boss when your boss pushes your buttons? What do you say when you make a mistake? What do you say when you genuinely just forgot something? Young people, what do you say to your parents when you're an hour late for your curfew? Or what do you say to your professor when you're late turning in a paper? See, so many times when the heat's on, we look for liar escapes, don't we? To save face, to avoid the consequences. What we do, we just lie, and friends, it's dishonest. It's just dishonest. Sometimes silence is a form of dishonesty. You know, that's when we withhold the truth. I mean, you're being dishonest when you do that. You know, silence can be a form of dishonesty. It's a lie when you withhold the truth. It's a sin of omission. You know, not to say something we should say. You know, Proverbs says this, "Do not withhold good from those for whom it is due, when it's in your power to act." I mean, sometimes we're silent when we know the truth. Sometimes we're silent when we could save someone by saying something. Sometimes we're silent when we need to speak the truth to a friend. You know, instead of being honest with them, instead of taking a risk, instead of trying to help them, many times people just agree with them, go, "Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that's great." Sometimes we're silent because it plays well for us. It gains us an advantage by not getting the truth out there. Sometimes we're silent and we allow someone else to take the blame for something we actually have done. Why do we do that? To avoid the consequences. And friends, I want to tell you, silence, it's not noble. It's not noble when people get hurt. Silence can be a sin. You go, "But I didn't say anything." No, you didn't, but it's still a sin. Culture has gotten creative with this whole thing. We got white lies in our society, which is really a code to say it's okay to lie sometimes, right? I can't come in. I'm really sick. Amazed how many people come in with tans the next week, you know. But we go, well, that's okay, because companies make it hard for you. You know, hey, I'll give you a call sometime. Hey, I'll be at your party. Hey, I'll help you move. One of them that just really bothers me, I'll pray for you. You need anything, you just call. But underneath it, beneath the words, is a lie. I mean, we say things and we have absolutely no intention of following it through. And friends, that's dishonesty. Before you say the words, just ask yourself a very simple question. Do you really mean it? Do you really mean it? There's one more form of dishonesty. Do you steal? I mean, do you steal from the company time clock? Do you take supplies for your personal use? You know, those that punch the clock, you know, do you take extended lunches? Do you do personal business on company time? You know, do you pad the expense account? I mean, we could go on and on just in that one area of work. And I know how this goes. You know, we are great at justifying. Well, this company, they're making millions. I'm just getting my fair share. You know, I work harder than most everybody else at the office. Everybody else is doing it. Well, friends, save your breath. Dishonesty is dishonesty on every single count. I don't care how you cut it. Ephesians 4, Apostle Paul says this, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Be honest and work hard. This stuff, that kind of dishonesty, it starts in one area. Trust me, it will spill into the other areas over time. Dishonesty, it breaks trust, it hurts people, it destroys companies, it destroys communities, and it destroys nations, and it breaks God's heart. And as I think about it, it's like something is broken. I mean, why the dishonesty? You know, for some it's fear, for some it's a pride thing, some they're just angry, jealous. But the bottom line, friends, it is a choice. It is a choice that we make every day. I am going to be honest, or I'm going to be dishonest. And it really is about that claim. I mean, how honest are you? Because you got to be really careful here. I mean, we have this uncanny ability when we deal with a topic like this to start rationalizing it and start comparing our truth quotient with other people's truth quotients. And I always find it amazing because we do not look around for the most truthful person that we know. Instead, we look for people that are less truthful than us. And we kind of go, well, I'm more honest than they are. Surely God grades on a kind of a sliding scale or something. Comparing, I don't care what the topic, it will mess you up. And I know it's tempting. It's really tempting to live that way. But why don't you try comparing yourself to a holy God? Why don't you try comparing yourself to God's truth? And just some real practical pieces you can put in place, real practical things that I think help stop that fade, help us become people of truth in every area of our lives. And that's critique everything you say and do. Everything. In your marriage, at work, at school, at the club, when you're chilling out with friends, when you're at church, every area. And every day, just pray and make a part of your prayer life at the end of the day to just say, you know what, God? I want to ask you, have I been honest in everything that I've said today. Now, have I exaggerated something? Have I put a spin on it? Have I lied today? Is there something that I should have said that I didn't say? Have I been honest in everything that I did today? And then you just wait. Because God, through His Holy Spirit, will open your eyes. I mean, He'll bring something to mind. You'll begin to see some area where honesty was fading. I mean, God will point it out, trust me. And when God points it out, you don't just go, well, I guess I wasn't very honest there, and just move on. No, if God points it out, whatever the area is, you need to go to that person then and admit that you weren't honest with them. Tell them the truth, whatever it is. Make it right, even if it costs you a deal or costs you financially, whatever. If you do that 4 or 5 times, you will think long and hard before you're dishonest with someone else. I know this because I've done it, and it's no fun to have to go clean it up afterwards. What's the benefit of that? Well, I think there's one that's obvious. You can put your head down on your pillow at night with a clear conscience because things are right with that person, but most important, things are right with God. You've got them straight. I think the second imprint, or the second benefit, is really the imprint that you leave on people's lives that you go to and you make it right. You know, when you go to them and you come clean and you say, you know, wasn't quite straight with you about this. It just hits them and they go, really? Because it's unexpected in our culture. But critique yourself on a regular basis, on a daily basis. That's huge. Install lie detectors in your life. You know, these are people that love you for who you are. And you just ask them to hold you accountable. Hold you accountable, to confront you, to get in your grill, so to speak, and go, you know what? You're embellishing things. You're exaggerating things. You're putting a spin on things. You're operating in the gray. You know, husbands and wives are really good about doing this for each other, right? Keep you, it's like, ah, that's not quite straight. And allow God to guide you. You know, allow God to guide you in everything that you say, everything that you do, every interaction, every deal, every transaction. You know, Jesus said in John 16, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's talking about the Holy Spirit here, he will guide you in all truth. He's talking about submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit, for some of you go, I'm just not real clear about the Holy Spirit. And I really want to explain this to you. The moment that you bow a knee to Jesus Christ and make Him Savior of your life, the moment you ask Him into your life, the moment you do that, Jesus places the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit starts living in you and working in you, turning you and me into people of truth. And here's what happens when you're in a situation, and this is how it plays out in your day-to-day, you got a choice to make. You know, when you're about to say something that's not true, or you're about to do something that's dishonest, when you're about to do whatever it is, you can sense the Holy Spirit nudging you, nagging you, bothering you. Sometimes He'll punch you to get your attention. But that's the Holy Spirit trying to remind you. You know, don't do it. It's not worth it. You're not honoring God right now. And what happens if you throttle back from that, whatever it is that you were going to say, whatever it is that you were going to do, you can feel the Holy Spirit kind of affirm you and love you in that. Kind of go, way to go. You're not moving in the direction of dishonesty. You're moving in the direction of honesty here. Hey, you're telling the truth. You're making a godly decision here. You know, Paul, he writes this. He says, instead, we hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ. The role of the Holy Spirit is to help us hold to the truth, to live true, right, to move in the direction of truth and godliness. It's to get us to become more and more and more like Jesus Christ in every single way, in every area of our life. Friends, when you reflect Jesus Christ in your life, there's no fade. Can't happen. It's when we push Christ aside, push truth aside. Well, watch out. Friends, I want to be a person that looks more and more like Jesus Christ every day. And I think most of you do too. That's how you stop the fade. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, you have created fearfully and wonderfully. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be alive in us, that we would be people of truth. And God, I know as we've been talking today that probably every one of us, there's something that come to mind. Uh-oh, I wasn't true there. Wasn't quite honest there. God, we can't clean it all up when we look at our full history, but we can start now with the things we know. God, even if everybody else in the world's not honest, I pray that your people, that you call by name, that we'd be honest, that we'd pay the price, whatever it costs. If you hate it, we hate it. God, I pray that we would be an example to a world that when it comes to honesty, it's just untethered out there. God, help us to be people of truth. Help us to live with clean hands in a world that, well, that's less than honest. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. This day and every day. Let's stand and worship together.